This is a Suno India production and you're listening to the Suno India show.
How are the most vulnerable and marginalized people of our country coping with the pandemic that has been going on for 2 years now? Do they have enough food or do they go to bed hungry? What is the nutritional value of the food they have at home? These are questions that the Hunger Watch survey attempted to answer. The Right to Food campaign, the Center for Equity Studies, and other organizations conducted the survey of food insecurity across 14 Indian states. One of the objectives of conducting the survey was to build mass awareness around the scale of hunger in the country. The report called The Hunger Watch was released recently. This is the second such report in the past 2 years. Hi, this is Surya Tapa Mukherjee, your host for this episode of the Suno India show. I spoke to Anjali Bhardwaj about the findings of the second Hunger Watch survey. Besides informing us about the scale of hunger in the country, it paints a picture of the decreasing income and increasing debt faced by the most vulnerable. In this interview, Anjali explains how the pandemic affected different sections of people and what the government can do right now. Anjali Bhardwaj is a founding member of Satark Nagrik Sangathan and a leading member of the Right to Food campaign.
So the Hunger Watch survey essentially, has been done to find out what is the situation on the ground with the poorest, most marginalized people and families in the country. As part of the survey, more than 6,500 respondents were contacted and surveyed in rural areas and in urban areas. And what we found in terms of food insecurity and hunger was very, very alarming. One thing that came out very clearly was that income levels had decreased hugely as compared to pre-pandemic period. And what we found in the hunger survey was that 66% of the respondents said that their income had decreased as compared to pre-pandemic period. And those who suffered a decline in their income, close to 60% said that their current income is less than half of what it had been before the pandemic. So this is a very stark finding where, consistently campaigns like the Right to Food campaign have been telling the government that, during the pandemic, people's economic situation has been hit very badly. And therefore, there is need for ensuring food and social security. Unfortunately, most governments, especially the central government, have been in denial. There has been a constant refrain that, once the lockdowns are not there, the economy is back to normal, and therefore there is really nothing to worry about. But the survey results have shown how there has been a decrease in income levels. Close to 45% of the households had outstanding debt. So this is a huge issue as well of increasing indebtedness. And among those with outstanding debt, 21% of the respondents have a total amount of debt of more than 50,000 rupees. Now, this is very significant because in the hunger survey, the people that were surveyed were the poorest, living in slums, living in remote rural areas. So for them to report that their debt was more than 50,000 rupees, in urban areas, this is an average of 50,000 rupees. In urban areas, we saw that many people had not been able to pay their rent for many, many months. which then ran their indebtedness to the landlord into very large figures. So the indebtedness figure was a huge problem. Now, coming to food insecurity, the survey has shown that 80% of the sample reported some form of food insecurity in the month preceding the survey. So we are talking about 80% of the people that were spoken to saying that they had experienced food insecurity in the last month. And 67%, this is very significant, 67% said they could not afford cooking gas in the month preceding the survey. And mind you, we are now staring at huge increases in prices of LPG gas cylinders coming in the coming month. But the survey, the hunger survey, which took place in December, January of this year, was showing that in the month preceding the survey, whenever people were spoken to, 60% could already not afford cooking gas. So these are some of the very striking results that we saw in the hunger survey.
The experiences of these people are eclipsed by the numbers. So could you share some stories from your work on the ground?
Yes, these are just figures, but when one is speaking to people on the ground, what the reality is really comes through. So, for example, we were talking to women respondents, and when they said that, they had pulses, dal, for example, they said that they had made dal, around once a week in their household. But then when they shared their experience, they said that, when we give dal to our children, we are saying that we are giving them dal, but actually it's just 5-6 grains of dal that is being thrown into water with salt, and that the children have been complaining that they don't like the dal that we are serving them. But that's because that is the situation that we are in. We can't afford to buy pulses. There is a huge inflation. We know how cooking oil, the prices of cooking oil, mustard oil, which is the most basic oil that's used, they've been shooting up. And, a year and a half ago, the prices were 100 rupees a liter. They went up to 200 rupees, and now it's even more. So, people were saying that we've stopped using oil. We just boil the food and we give it. There were women who, when we talked to them about consumption of milk and eggs, they said that our children have now gotten used to having black tea, because they said that we haven't been able to afford milk to give to our little children in the last 2 years since the pandemic started, and our incomes have either disappeared or reduced to such a huge extent. So, when one is talking to people on the ground, the situation that they are living through becomes even more stark, and one realizes what is happening behind the numbers as well.
More and more children are leaving schools to join work in order to support their families since the pandemic. Could you tell us a bit more about the challenges children are facing right now?
In terms of children, the hunger survey showed that at least 1 in 6 households reported that their children have dropped out of school. So, children have entered the workforce because the household incomes have dropped, and where the elders are unable to get any jobs, they're sort of even willing to send children to work if it's required. So even just talking to the children is really presents a very, very problematic state of affairs, where children talked about their experience through the pandemic, how they were getting midday meals, and that was their nutritional intake for the day, where they would go to school, they would, and get a hot cooked meal once a day. And ever since the pandemic has come, in Delhi, for instance, the schools have shut down. There has been no distribution of midday meals, and children were sharing their experience of how they missed the midday meal. They were talking about how they tried to study but had no way to join their online classes. They either had no smartphones to work with, or even in the few places where children said they had smartphones, they said that access to some form of smartphones, they said that there was no internet connection, electricity was a problem. So I think that, the way in which the pandemic has resulted in this kind of deepening of marginalization, deepening of inequalities, and deprivations is really very, very stark and problematic on the ground.
So how does access to nutrition vary depending on the caste, gender, and religion of the respondents?
Look, the more marginalized a community, whether it is by caste or religion, by gender, the more deprived and the worse off it has been, historically and even in the pandemic. So we've seen how the incomes have declined as compared to the pre-pandemic period. Girl children have the rate of dropout from school for girl children has been much more than for boys. It is true that, given the deeply patriarchal society that we live in, this is not something that is captured in figures in the survey, but many people have said that, when there is lesser nutrition, lesser food, typically the women, the girl child in the house suffers disproportionately. So yes, the more marginalized any gender or community is, the worse off their experience during the time of crisis. And that's what we saw, what we have seen even during the pandemic.
Income and food security have a long way to go before returning to pre-pandemic levels. From your work, could you share how the recent Omicron wave affected these families?
Look, the Omicron wave was a lot less stressful as far as health was concerned. If we look at the health impacts of COVID, which have even been captured in the hunger survey, in the previous waves, Delta and the first one, 3% reported that someone in the household died of COVID-19. And fewer than 45% of those reported, those who were spoken to, received any death compensation. Again, 23% of the households incurred a major health expenditure, and 13% incurred an expenditure of more than 50,000 rupees, and 35% more than 10,000 rupees. And now 32% of the households reported that a member stopped working or lost wages due to COVID-19. Now, during the Omicron wave, this hunger survey actually took place before the Omicron wave hit, because this actually happened in December 2021 and January 2022. This was before the Omicron wave. But during the Omicron wave also, experience has shown that although the health impact was much less, but it is true that there was a lot of fear. A lot of people in the unorganized sector who work as household help, who don't have the ability to sit to work from home. They were told by their employers to discontinue working till the wave subsided, and lost wages, they lost incomes. And for them, the crisis actually deepened during the Omicron wave as well, because the fear was very much there, both amongst the employers and, of course, also amongst people. So every wave that has hit, of the pandemic has resulted in deepening the humanitarian crisis that we have seen.
Food grain surpluses produced by farmers have increased in recent years, and we are headed for a record this year. So why do you think there is food insecurity in the country?
Look, hunger and malnutrition in our country have never had anything to do with the surpluses of food grains that we have. In fact, one of the main slogans of the Right to Food campaign in the country has always been "Bhuke pet bhare godam, anyay hai, apradh hai," which basically translated means that if people are hungry and the godowns are overflowing with grain, that's a crime. And that is really what we are seeing even in the current situation. Through the pandemic, we've had agriculture has performed very well. We've had procurement, and we've had the PDS procurement, under the public distribution system, has been a record high, which means that the godowns are overflowing with grain. And and we've always said that at a time when there are people who are dealing with food insecurity and are dealing with hunger, there is absolutely no reason for the government to not deploy that surplus food grain and distribute it amongst people. So one thing that has constantly been demanded by the Right to Food campaign is universalization of the public distribution system, because we know that the moment that there is targeting and the government says that we will first identify the poor and then we will distribute grains, the most needy, the most marginalized are always left out because of corruption, because of different kinds of exclusions. They are unable to produce the documents that are required, and they are left out of the food security net. What the government has done, and which has proved to be a lifeline for the poor in the country, has been that those who have ration cards, they have been given their rations, and in addition, the Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Anna Yojana, the PMGKAY, under that, 5 kilograms of extra free food grains have been distributed to those who have ration cards. Now, that has proven to be a huge help for people who have ration cards. Unfortunately, we are seeing now that from March onwards now, that is going to be discontinued. So we have been demanding that, given that there is such a huge stock of food grains in government godowns, the government must continue the Pradhan Mantri Garib Kalyan Anna Yojana, must continue to support families which have ration cards. And we have been saying that families who don't have ration cards, they are people like migrant workers, who don't have proof of residence because they come from the villages into the cities, they live on rent, they have no way to no proof of residence, they don't have other ways, so they don't have ration cards. So such families have to be given support and food grains and nutritious food. And in fact, the Supreme Court itself has taken cognizance of this. So the Supreme Court in the migrant workers case has directed the state governments and the central government to make sure that migrant workers and others who don't have ration cards must not go hungry. They must be provided dry rations. There should be schemes for dry rations. And the court has said very clearly that there should be community kitchens so that these people don't go hungry. So the court has also seen that there is overflowing grains in the godowns, and there is no reason for not giving those who need food grains the required support.
So those are all of my questions. Is there anything else that you would like to add? Like maybe something else that the government can do? Like what are the next steps?
We believe that the government has a responsibility, both the state and the central governments have a responsibility to provide hot cooked meals under ICDS and midday meals. They should be revived immediately. There is no rationale in places, including Delhi, where now schools are reopening, but the government has still not started providing hot cooked meals as midday meals to children. The next generation, their education, their nutrition is of utmost importance if we are talking about development in the country. Maternity entitlements should be universalized and made unconditional. It's very important for pregnant and lactating mothers to get at least 6,000 rupees per child as per the provisions of NFSA. And social security pensions should be increased by the central government to at least 2,000 rupees. As it is, the poor, the handicapped, the, you know, women headed households, entitlements for widows, the pension entitlements was so small and things were so bad. But through the pandemic, things have become much worse for the vulnerable. And therefore, there is a need to increase social security pensions. The childcare services must be expanded, and the allocation for NREGA should be increased to provide at least 200 days of work per year, because people have lost employment. And if they are given this guaranteed rural employment, then things could improve and look up for them and their families. And an urban employment guarantee is very important as well to think of, to make sure that everybody gets at least a basic minimum income. And as long as the pandemic exists, the government must ensure, like the Supreme Court has also said in the migrant workers case, must ensure that there is food security for people. And we've been saying that some amount of cash transfers are also important to ensure that people have incomes and they can afford medicines, they can afford milk for their children, and the wages of workers providing care must be ensured that they're decent wages and working conditions. The Anganwadi workers and helpers and Asha, they've been protesting and asking for minimum wages. So all of these things need to be done if we want to see our country and people fare properly and not live a life of indignity and hunger through the pandemic.
Please rate our podcast and leave a comment if you like it. Underreported and underrepresented stories can become mainstream only if it reaches more people. So please support us by visiting a contributing page on our website sunoindia.in, or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.